Time to talk to our professional handicapper and friend of the program, Gabe Morenci. You can find him on Twitter at Sports Rage and also at FNTSY Sportsnet and Radio. He's with us right now. Gabe, how are you?
What's up?
Always happy holidays, guys. Always a pleasure. I apologize for any background noise, but I say they say that New York's the city that never sleeps, man. I'd say it's more so the city that never shuts up. You can't find a quiet spot here. I'm doing my best, but well, you know, it's funny because one of the most famous Christmas movies, of course, Miracle on 34th Street. So we're actually on 34th Street, and it's fitting after that miracle last night. And, man, betting on football is so much funner when you win.
Yeah.
And you're on the right side of one of these things. And I swear, guys, I was doing a podcast, just sort of chill, my own thing, where I kick back and watch the game. You know, we're not sort of on. You know what I mean? It's just me, you know, basically watching a game. And I said, you know, guys, I said, how many times have we been up by 14 and been screwed? I said, you know, it happens. Comebacks happen, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was talking about the over. I was like, man, we got to get this over somehow.
Yeah.
And I was crying about Rivers' interception.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we should have went over. This game could have went over. And then it did in the end. Yeah, hell of a football game. But hopefully we can keep the momentum going into the weekend.
Do you think we'll have a trend of coaches just foregoing a guaranteed tie in overtime and going for the win? That was a pretty ballsy call.
Yes, I do. I actually do. I think this started with Peterson last year. Now, listen, Belichick's always sort of done strange things over the years. Mm-hmm. But honestly, you look at Doug Peterson, and I really think that Doug Peterson and the Eagles had a big influence on other coaches. You know, Doug Peterson came from the Andy Reid coaching tree. You know, his backup quarterback through the years.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the staffs, et cetera. He watches a guy, you know, win a Super Bowl right out of the gate like that, taking chances, taking risks. You look at the Houston Texans. Texans, you know, are Super Bowl contenders, man. Bill O'Brien just needs to, you know, get out of the way, man. Take the blinkers off. Let Deshaun be Deshaun.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. I think these coaches are starting to realize, you know what? We have to let our players play. There's a reason you drafted these guys as high as you did. There's a reason you're paying these players. Let them make plays. And even, you know, even Tom Coughlin, who's, you know, sort of old school, I remember when he did the interview about the Jags. I know he does a lot of interviews, but I saw an interview which he talked about. He said, you know, we just don't have enough big plays. Mm-hmm. And he said, in today's NFL, you need to be able to get 40-yard chunks in big plays, and we just don't do it. And he was talking about his offense. So that's even Tom Coughlin. Mm-hmm. You know, not saying, oh, we're going to run the ball. Even Tom Coughlin knows you got to make plays in this league. So I think, you know, and Anthony Lynn's sort of a conservative guy, to be honest. The running backs coach by nature.
Yep.
You know, was accelerated a fast track to become a head coach. But I really do, Craig. I think it's something that you're going to see coaches just saying, you know what? How many times have we seen over the years, guys? The Kansas City Chiefs, and you can attest to this, Pete. Mm. Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Texans. I've seen this movie over and over every year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They go into Foxborough. They do all the by the book, you know? And you know what? You're trailing by 7 all night by the book. And then you lose by 10 or 14 by the book at the end of the night. I think these coaches are realizing, hey, I've been in the league a while. It hasn't worked doing what I'm doing. Let's take a chance. And, I, you know, it's fun. It's been a fun year in the NFL this year. It really has been.
No doubt about it. I think the Chiefs are going to be in a little bit of trouble here. I think they're getting exposed more and more, and it's looking more and more. They may have to go, if they want to get to the Super Bowl, go on the road and try to win 3 playoff games. But they got some work to do over there. They got some work to do. But
you know,
let me
the Rams. The Rams haven't been the same either since that heavyweight fight that those two had on that Monday nighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those two teams took that like a Super Bowl. I think it was more draining than people realized. I think these teams are sort of hitting a wall. And it sounds cliche, and I know you know people have heard this before, but you know, I got an opportunity now. We're working with Marshall Faulk on the weekends doing college and NFL football, and he talked about his Rams when they're the fastest show on turf. And he said the next year they barely made the playoffs. And they were good. And he said it wasn't a hangover. So we said, what is it? What was it, a hangover? Was it? He said, no. He said, everyone knew our place. He said they got tired of us trolling them. And everyone knew. And he said, man, stuff that we did, it didn't work. They knew it. And you start to see this right now with the Rams and the Chiefs and the Saints even. You notice their offense is starting to slow down a little bit right now. And other teams are like, all right. It was sort of like Kaepernick with his own read option at first. When, you know, he killed teams for a year with it until they realized, just hit them. Simple as that. Just hit them. If you got a flag, you got a flag, hit them. And what happened, man? Harbaugh, after about four or five games, told Cap, you got to stand in the pocket and start throwing, kid, because you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Right? Same with Lamar Jackson running around. It works for the first couple of games. You can get away with it for a little while until teams realize, all right, the kid runs left and then he does this. They'll know. You know, with the offensive coordinator, I'll tell you what, guys, and we'll get some picks here, but I don't know if you'll agree with this, but doesn't it seem like defensive coordinators are smarter than play callers are?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes they are.
They figure it out. They're like, all right, they're doing this, they're doing that. And then you got these stooges on offense that have their guys in shotgun on 3rd and inches, but I digress.
Talking with Gabe Morenci.
Don't talk about Mike Zimmer that way.
Yeah, is that who we're talking about here?
Well, I'm saying, I guess Dillafipo or whatever the hell his name was.
Yeah.
Oh, the hot coaching candidate. Yeah, real hot.
All right, well, let's talk about some of these games. A lot of interesting ones on the big board. We'll start you out. Any thoughts on whether the Steelers can actually big boy up and handle the Patriots here this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's some daunting numbers, and Pete could have attested to these numbers as well, covering the Patriots as long as he did. Tom Brady off a loss. Bill Belichick off a loss. I believe, how about these numbers? Off a loss, and when favored by less than 3 points, they're 20-0.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, look, you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh are good enough to beat anybody. You know what I mean? They play up or down the level of competition. So Pittsburgh are strange. You know, Pittsburgh can beat Pittsburgh like we've seen, and then Pittsburgh can, you know, beat the Patriots this week. But can they? I mean, look, we saw the Chargers have lost 9 straight to the Chiefs. It was a little different. The Chargers are in a good mindset right now. I think the Steelers are about to implode. I think Tomlin's lost control of the room. When you're a player's coach and, you know, you're too nice, eventually they're going to cross the line, and they have. You know, I'm looking at the Patriots in this game. I don't love it just because it's so tough. It's not a best bet for me. I'm jumping in on the Bulls tomorrow. But I think there's going to be some points in this Pittsburgh-New England game. I'll be looking at the over in the game, but I can't trust Pittsburgh here. I just can't. You know, to me, Pittsburgh are imploding right now. And, you know, New England lost on a freak play last week. You know, New England just are in a better frame of mind. And truth be told, New England need the game too, guys, for home field. So not like New England's just coasting at the end of the year here. I think the Patriots win a close one. For all your listeners out there, I never win when I bet on Patriot games for or against. So I'm going with the total. I like the over. I think there'll be some points in this football game.
Yeah, I'm with you. And for a lot of Patriots, humiliated, that 20-0 stat is daunting. I mean, that just jumps out at you. And then Brady's 11-2. Going to Pittsburgh for them is not a big deal. It's much safer than going to Miami.
Belichick owns Tomlin, right? I hate to generalize it like that, but have we ever seen Mike Tomlin out-coach the Pats?
No.
Right? It's just that it's been 5 straight games. It's not an anomaly. It's not once, twice. It just seems like the Patriots are able to dial in, and Pittsburgh can't stop anybody right now. You know, a game that I do like, and, you know, I don't love the NFL card this week, but a game that I do like is the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys have been on a hell of a run, 5 straight. Since Amari Cooper's been there, they're 5-1. You know, they lost that first game to Tennessee when he got there, but it's been 5 straight wins. You know, a lot of those games were at home. I can't take anything away from them. I don't know if you noticed, man. They got, like, every damn call, right? Like, everything's gone the Cowboys' way for 5 weeks in a row. Every bounce, every call, just everything has gone their way. And I think they're going to run out of racetrack here against an Indianapolis Colts football team that's really starting to find himself right now. You know, it's just going to come down to Zeke Elliott here. It's hard to maintain the intensity that Dallas has played with. And in the big games that they played against, division rivals, you know, the Saints, division rivals, the Eagles, dramatic games, overtime, and it's going to catch up to them. They're not going to run the table. Are the Cowboys winning every game for the rest of the year? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think this is the spot where they stumble. I think Andrew Luck is that good that he's going to be able to dissect his defense and make enough plays. Yeah, I wouldn't shock me if it was a push. You know, if they won by 3, it's probably going to be a close game. But I'm going to be on the Indianapolis Colts in this football game.
Well, and it leads into a tad bizarro line of the week. I think it's a Sunday night game where the Eagles right now are 12.5-point underdogs in Los Angeles against the Rams. Now, I know the Rams are going to be, you know, they'll be upset.
I'm going contrarian on this one, Pete.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the whole public, and it sounds like you're thinking the same thing. you know, I had a guest on this morning that I respect a lot from Las Vegas, Greg Copper, and he said, you know, remember that Eagles game when they went to New Orleans and they got smashed? He said, that's what he's thinking it's going to be. I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm not in a hurry to run to the window to bet late 12 and a half on the Rams right now. Well, you know, the Rams, you know, same with the Chiefs. Look at the Chiefs, guys. Yeah, like I said, going back, these two teams played each other. You know, 3 weeks ago, the Chiefs got all they can handle from the Raiders, 1-3. They were lucky to beat Baltimore last week. And then we saw what happened last night. Coast football game, they ended up losing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Rams. The Rams' point spreads are overinflated. All right, Carson Wentz hadn't played great anyways. I like the Eagles better now almost with Nick Foles in here. The synergy of Nick Foles coming back, of him playing in that first game last year, that was the game that Wentz got hurt in last year. Listen, the Eagles aren't the Eagles of last year. I'm not saying, oh, they're back. There's no. I've been telling people all year long that they're not going to flick a switch. The light bulb's not there. They can flick all the lights they want. It's not the same team. But without being stated, that playoff spot's still there. I know it was a gut-wrenching loss for the Eagles. That playoff spot is still there. Mm-hmm. Anyone watch Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings play football recently?
Yeah.
They're hanging on to that last spot right now. They, you know, precariously. And I think that's, you know, that's an understatement.
But that's why,
if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you're not out of this yet. And, you know, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Rams, but I actually think it's too many points and they can hang around in this game.
Now, I'm with you, Gabe, and I also think because Dallas is playing at 1 o'clock against Indy, like you said, if Indy wins that game, now they have even more of an incentive. If Dallas does win that game, maybe it changes my mind, my thinking a little bit, but I got to tell you, if the Cowboys lose, the Eagles are going to be going, uh-oh, we're only a game back if we win this one. So I think that'll be a big-time incentive depending on which way that game goes, the Dallas game.
Yeah, it's a good point. And like I said, it's not like we're like, we have, you know, 5 or 6 bullet points on the Philadelphia Eagles here. You know, there's a couple of check marks that we can meet. But to me, it's more a play against the Rams in a sense of what have the Rams done to be justifying laying 12 and a half right now?
Yeah.
You know, I think the Rams, and we sort of see these teams, it reminds me, guys, of, you know, the Tennessee Martins and Chattanoogas against Alabama before rivalry week.
And yeah.
These teams are, so they see the light at the end of the tunnel. The coaches won't admit it publicly, but they already know. We're going to beat this team. We're going to lose this team. We're the 2 seed.
Yeah.
Like they know. They're not going to tell you, well, we know we're going to win that game anyway, so we're going to take it easier. And another thing is, too, teams like the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Saints, they've also dialed it back a little bit. You know, they have injuries, but they don't want to expose their playbooks fully either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, let's get the win, let's get out of here. This isn't college football. Like the Rams, they don't need to impress Condoleezza Rice and the committee. They need to win the game and move on.
Gabe Morenci's with us, Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. You mentioned Kirk Cousins.
I don't even know she's on a committee anymore, but she seems to be on every damn committee.
She might be. You mentioned Kirk Cousins a moment ago. Minnesota, a 7.5-point favorite against Miami coming up. You know, you talk about a playoff spot there for him. Miami's still very much in it after their miracle last week, but always tough going on the road. How do you see that game? That's a pretty big point spread.
Here's another one, actually, in which people just sort of assume, well, Minnesota's back home. Yeah, so what?
Yeah.
Didn't Minnesota lose like 22-0 to the Buffalo Bills back home?
Yes.
I mean, I tell you, man, I took heat for this too. I like Ryan Tannehill. You know, I think Ryan Tannehill, I get it. Ryan Tannehill was a disappointment and somewhat of an underachiever for the first few years of his career, or, you know, just sort of average. I get it. People don't seem to understand. You know, it's not his fault he was drafted 7th overall. Number two, he's not a quarterback. The kid's a wide receiver, all right?
Yeah.
You know, he was a transformed quarterback. He's a hell of an athlete. He's a hell of an athlete, but, you know, it's taken him years to sort of develop to become a quarterback. And I'll tell you, 2 years ago when he got hurt, he was playing good football, man. He really was. I thought he turned the corner. And now he comes back, and, you know, we brought up the record, guys, and I'm on the street right now, so I don't have my notes in front of me, but
yeah.
What's Red Tannehill's record as a starter, guys?
No, it's very good.
I think it's getting up to about 13-3 now, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yep.
I remember when you and I talked, it was like, oh, yeah, he's 8-1 or 9-2, whatever.
Yeah.
Like the guy, you know, he's not as bad as people say. And I don't know. What it's same thing like with the – it's not so much, hey, I love the Dolphins. And I know the Dolphins haven't been a great road team. But you're getting 7.5 points. The Dolphins are in the middle of this playoff chase right now. You know they're going to get a little emotional bump after last week thinking, you know what, you know these guys are all religious. You know, it's God's will. We got that. You know there's a lot of positive just sort of karma going on in their room coming out here. What are the Minnesota Vikings justified to do to lay 7.5 points right now? You want to lay 7.5 points with Kirk Cousins? I don't. Hey, Christmas is around the corner. I don't have that much money. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. To me, it's the Miami Dolphins or pass. I think you can make a strong case for the Miami Dolphins to hang around in this game.
Hey, Gabe, just a few minutes or left in college football. Only one ranked team playing this weekend, Fresno State. The 21st ranked team, Bulldogs, going up against Herm Edwards' Arizona State team. Any of the college bowl games you like?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to jump in here, guys, and I'm going to warn people. Remember, man, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, I've been around a long time, guys, and I've got myself in trouble and had some bad Christmases decisions I made in the Gasparilla Bowl, or and thinking, why did I hell did I just bet $1,200 on Eastern Michigan? It seems like a good idea before to put $2,000 on the Bahamas Bowl, doesn't it? Until after, and you're like, oh, my God. Yeah, UAB had a great season, but they're getting killed today. Like, these bowl games, teams haven't played for a while. Now, this weekend's a little bit different because of the fact that, it's only been a couple of weeks. But a quick note I'll tell you guys for your listeners out there. Anytime there's an interim coach, bet against the team, essentially. You blindly bet against teams that lose their coaches and coordinators, you will win. There's going to be the exception that, the special teams coach gets the win. They're few and far between, guys. Mm-hmm. And it leads me into Utah State. Mm-hmm. Utah State had a great year, well split. And not only did he split, he took the offensive coordinator with him to Texas Tech, the defensive coordinator, the linebacker coach. Literally, like, seven coaches are gone. Like, it's unfair to the kids. And from what I understand, the Utah State players are pretty disheartened by this rolling in here. And, they're leaving the playbook behind, but it's not that simple as far as preparation going to the bowl game. Meanwhile, you got a mean green football team that's excited to be there with an exciting offense, a pretty damn good defense, too. To me, I always cap these bowl games by athletes, all right? All right, Utah State, great year this year, hung a million points up on the board against pretty subpar competition. I get it. And North Texas hasn't played the best competition, but, their conference doesn't blow. But let's be real here. North Texas have athletes. They've got speed. They're going to match up well with the kids on Utah State. Plus, they actually have a coaching staff. Yeah. Give me the mean green plus 7.5 points in that game. And speaking of betting 2,000 on Eastern Michigan, don't put 2,000 on it, but give me Eastern Michigan plus 3 against Georgia Southern.
All right.
That is fantastic. That is Gabe Morenci at Sports Rage. You can also find him at FNTSY Sportsnet. That is fantastic.